give it to you something about a worship. Are you worshiping Lord from the heart? Let's look at the Bible in Matthew chapter 15 verse 8. What is God telling us there? Matthew chapter 15 verse 8 and 9. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by man. It was at the time of Passover. Jesus, aware of how the scribes and Pharisees were trying to arrest him at this feast, decided not to show up with his disciples. Determined in their mission to trap him, the Pharisees tracked down Jesus and 12 apostles and came with accusation that the disciples didn't wash their hands before eating, thus breaking Jewish tradition. Instead of defending himself and disciples, Jesus pointed out the importance of the Spirit of the law rather than the long list of do's or don'ts that the scribes and Pharisees promoted. So Jesus quoted then Isaiah, this catching rebuke: "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." So today I got a question for you, my dear friends. How are we worshiping God? Are we like the scribes and Pharisees? Do we simply speak like Christians while our hearts are far from God? What does worshiping from the heart mean? Knowledge, what we collected from the Bible, is important. But wisdom is how we apply this knowledge in our life. That's the most important. Let me tell you the story about a young girl by name Lenny. She was seeking for truth by attending a charismatic worship service. The congregation was led into singing and prayer and speaking in tongues. Emotions were stirred. A few worshippers fell to the floor in a trance, being smitten by the Spirit. There was crying and mourning for sins. The atmosphere was emotionally charged. Lenny was shocked. She was lost. She didn't know what to do. So, was it this an example of worshiping God from the heart? Was it a good example for Lenny, who is a seeker for the truth? In Hebrew, the word heart is used interchangeable with the word mind. Bible dictionary actually explains us what that means. The thinking process of man are said to be carried out by the heart. This intellectual activity corresponds to what would be called mind in English. Thus the heart may think, understand, image, remember, devise and speak of itself. Decision making is also carried out by the heart. So how we understand mind and heart? Usually, people are putting mind as an intellectual part of us and heart into emotional part of us. But as we see, mind and heart are same thing. Hence, we worship from the heart. It involves our rational thinking processes, a purposeful choice, a deep understanding, not merely touchy, feeling response that make us break down and cry. It is not emotional high that comes and goes without producing any change for the better. While there is an emotional side to worship, it is guided by our mind, a mind trained to stay centered on Christ. Perhaps a simple yet profound understanding of worshiping from the heart may be boiled down to the three A's of worship. Worship is adoration. Worship is an attitude, and worship is action. Let's look at the first poem of worship, adoration. Isaiah saw in his vision holiness of the Lord, and that produced a sense of true worship in him, worship by heart. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 onward says, "In the year that King Uzzah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of the voices, the doorpost and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried, 'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.' Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a leaf coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I. Send me, Lord.'" So, how do you feel now after reading about this holiness of the Lord? What are your feelings? Worship brings us into the very presence of God. And our first reaction is like that of the prophet Isaiah, "Woe unto me, I'm done for, because I'm sinner, I'm unclean." So, what's happened when we worship? When we worship, the creature comes before the Creator. When we worship, we are convicted of our sinful human state. When we worship, we are convinced that we need help. When we worship, we see how unworthy we are. When we worship, we begin to put everything in perspective. When we worship, we cringe before our God as we realize how dark and desolate our hearts are. But God does not invite us to worship Him from our hearts and then leave us there on the floor, a pile of dirty rags. No, no. He reaches out and lifts us up. Ellen G. White describes this beautifully in her book, In Heavenly Places. On page 77, she said, "As we approach God through the virtue of Christ's merits, we are clothed with His priestly vestments. He places us close by His side, encircling us with His human arm, while with His divine arm He grasps the throne of the infinite. He puts His merits as sweet incense in a censer in our hands in order to encourage our petitions. He promises to hear and answer our supplications. Yes, Christ has become the medium of prayer between God and man. He has combined divinity and humanity. As we stand in God's holy presence, there can be no self-exaltation, no boastful claim, only a crystal clear picture of who I really am, the creature before my Creator. What a humbling experience. In worship, we discover our true identity." Jones Andrews says that the true ground of divine worship, not only on the seventh day, but in all worship, is found in the distinction between the Creator and His creature. He said that in his book, History of the Sabbath, chapter 27. So as we stand here in our worthlessness, as we feel God's conforming arms wrapped tightly around us, we feel an infusion, much like a blood transfusion. His grace comes coursing through our veins to assure us that we are forgiven and we dare to come before God's presence. Not because we are worthy, but because Jesus is worthy. Not because we have a right to be, but because Jesus has reclaimed that right on our behalf so that we can receive the full benefit of being sons and daughters of the Heavenly King. How do we as a church members reflect these beliefs in worshiping God from the heart? How do we regard personal devotions, family worship, and corporate worship? A study conducted by General Conference entitled Quality of Personal and Church Life provided this disturbing statistics that only 45% of our church members have personal and family devotions. As we look at this, the words of Matthew chapter 15, 8 and 9 rings in my ears. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So does it sound that Satan has been successful in diverting our attention? Yes, he knows that when we forget to worship, we are deprived of the blessings that God has prepared for us. He knows that when we forget to worship, we start God's purpose in our lives. He knows that when we forget to worship, we actually choose to cast out a lot of his sight. Satan is very smart. If he takes our time for personal devotions and family worship, he also crafts an attack on our youth, on our children and grandchildren. They are watching us. Satan knows that when he gets us to attend worship services as a routine, without a heart, that he is effective in destroying us, our families, our churches, and especially our children. Are we going to allow him to do that? No, of course not. My dear friends, those of you who have grown children, you can't do much about it. But those of you who still have little children at home, please be true Christian. Be followers of Jesus. Worship him in your personal time and also in family time. We learned from some studies that knowing the worship with the heart, we are doing our souls and are putting our souls in God's hand or in Satan's hand. That God is taking our children, that means that he is taking part of our hearts with it. Who is going to show better example of love of God than mother and father? What kind of life are you living, my dear brother, my dear sister? Are you showing to the Lord who you are? Your children are watching you. Be real. Be godly man and woman. Second part of worship with heart is attitude. Worship is a change your attitude, your bad attitude toward good attitude. True worship from the heart should unite. It should be celebration. It should be delight. Our expression of this delight may vary from culture to culture, but the Lord does not consider the varied formats. What he sees is each person's motive deep in their heart, desire to know him. Our hearts are something that only God can see. Coming here on Sabbath, we can show off. We are good looking, nice dressed, we put smile on our face. But how we live at home? Are we worshiping God worship God in home, that's something else, something different. I remember in a little country church when I grew up, we as a children all together, a big group of children and youth were that time. Little church, about 40-50 members, but half of those were children and youth. And specifically one man, he was first elder, head elder of the church. He was a marvelous man. He was excellent preacher, organizer. He was musician. He was a very, very talkative man. Sweet words coming out of his mouth. He was just my, in a certain period of time when I was little, I loved this man very much. But I didn't know what kind of man he is at home. Living double standard life killed his children's desire to be Christian. So later on in the life, we saw this result. This man was man, Christian man, good Adventist man, only on Sabbath. During the week, his standards were totally different. His attitude, his way of talking, his way of acting. In business, he was totally worldly man. And all of their four children left the church when they grew up. They didn't see connection between his worship with the lips and with heart. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 and 6, Apostle Paul called us, invite us, celebrate God all day, every day, I mean revealing Him. Instead of worrying, pray. Apostle Paul is reminding us, don't worry. Change your attitude about worries. So David also, Psalmist David in Psalm 42 verse 1 said, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. When desire in our heart is there for the Lord, then people can see that. People can feel that. We can't hide it from them. When we worship God with our heart, this delightful attitude colors our disposition, the way we think, the way we relate. It impacts our beliefs, our values, our behavior, our praise, our prayers, about our Bible studies, and also our decisions about lifestyle choices like friends, school, church, home, hobbies, sports, entertainment, etc. So Apostle Paul is very clear to tell us that a way of worship inspired us totally, so we can change our attitudes and we can make good choices in lifestyle. In Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and 2, Apostle Paul said, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So take every day, your ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, your walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. That can be wonderful sacrifice from you to the Lord. Our third point, what the worship means is, worship is action in mission. What that means? When we worship with our heart and spend quality time with our God, grace is influenced into our very being. A little at a time from day to day, and this grace flows out of a knowledge of the Word that is dynamic and changing. The Word of God must change you so that people around you can see that something is going on in your life. True worship calls for change that begins with the right in the heart. As I worship Him, I hear God telling me where His needs are, where His mission lies, where I need to change and adjust to what He wants me to do. As a result, we will be knowing with the heart and doing with the soul, reflecting a deep passion that spreads like fire, because true worship from the heart results in action. Worship results in mission. Let me tell you a story about a woman by name Sena. She was a victim of severe spousal abuse in Mongolia. She was a medical doctor, a mother of few children. He was very dedicated to her work and her family, but her husband was never satisfied. As a culture of this country put her husband in to be dominate over her and whole family, as he was unhappy with something what they are doing, he had his right to beat them, whole family, children and his wife. And one day, while he was beating his wife badly, he took his head and bashed against the wall. So she was hurt so badly that she was paralyzed. She was took to the hospital, and doctors can't do anything to help her. She was diagnosed with paralysis. She was paralyzed for the rest of her life, to spend her life in wheelchair. What a disappointment was that for her and for her whole family. She was devastating to do something, but there was nothing she can do about it. One day while she was staying in a rehabilitation center, somebody spread a little leaflet about crusade which will be held in a couple of weeks in that town. And she asked personnel of this rehab center to take her to see what is this crusade all about. But the crusade was running by Seventh-day Adventist missionaries. They were running the program, how to become good Christian, how to accept Jesus and be saved. While Sena was attending every night presentation, she decided to give her heart to the Lord. She was baptized among hundreds and hundreds of other people. She was still in her wheelchair. And returning back to rehab center, Sena decided to share this good news to other disabled people she is in contact with. And day by day, Sena was sharing this good news with her people around her. And one day, she just come to the idea, how about if I open my own rehab center for disabled people, where I can worship with them, I can share with them God's love, so I can invite missionaries from all around the world to preach the word of God. And she did that. With the help of her friends, which were non-Adventist, not Christian, she opened the center, rehabilitation center, and they start worshiping there every Sabbath. They started with 40 families of people who had disabled person in their family already, and number becoming bigger and bigger every week. So a lot of people became Christians thanks to Sena and her dream. Sena was the weakest of the weak, disabled woman in wheelchair, who is totally dependent on the people around her. But she decided to do what she can do. Do you have a vision of some project as Sena? Can you hear the call of God to worship with your heart, to renew your attitude? If we worship with our hearts, we live compelled to take action that results in mission. This morning, we come together to give adoration to our Heavenly Father. We also came to change our attitude for better, and we came to understand that worship is action and mission as well. Will you, in the coming week, change anything in your life as a result of worshiping God from your heart? Will you demonstrate a new attitude towards your family members, your friends, and your neighbors? Will you be inspired to action in sharing what Jesus has done for you with those who don't know you or who don't know Jesus? Let me finish with the words of Ellen G. White from letter 143. She said, God calls for sincere heart worship. In these closing days of Earth's history, once again, God is pleading with us to worship Him from our hearts. Let's respond to the first angel's invitation in Revelation 14. Can you imagine Him flying throughout the earth, crying with a loud voice, Come and worship our Creator, who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and the fountains of water. Worship Him, worship Him. Amen and Amen. Probably you know the beautiful song, Holy, 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 God, Lord Almighty. Let us sing this song in adoration to our Lord Jesus Christ, who deserves to be worshipped with us as His children. May God bless you all and help you to sing this holy song every time when you think about God and worship Him from your heart. May God bless you all. Amen.